Blog Talk Radio.
Of our ceremony for our marriage, and it's also the day that Omi tells you
who is the new king for a day. Now, as you know, I had been also soliciting on my website, and I gave you a couple of clues. I told you to go out on my website and see this fair young man that had been seeking Omi's hand. Now, we have selected him. He is the king for a day, Teju Oloboni. If you would like to go out to the website, that website is posted right on my Blog Talk Radio. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, the celebration must go on. We have our winner. Now, for those of you who still want to call in, it's not too late if you can get it right what it is the Empress Omi want. That number is 646-478-0270. Call in now before the end of the 30 minutes and you can get your selection in. I can hear from you and you can tell me what it is that Emperor Omi wants. Now, because today is our final day, our celebration must go on. We're going to complete stories and we're going to also go into the story of what happened with Viney Allen and Ben Raymond. But before we do that, I have an excellent story to tell you from the African-American folk tales. This is for our young people. Young people, I'm inviting you in the room now. Please come and sit close to the radio. I have a special treat for you. But before I read that story, I have something for the adults out there. I want to talk to you sisters. I know you think it's strange that Omi's on here soliciting, but sister, I got something to tell you. Listen up real close. I know you think it's really strange that Omi would be on these airwaves soliciting, but listen up, my sister. You like that, sister. I hope you like that song. It was just for those ladies out there who are soliciting for their mate and for their king of the day. We found ours, ladies and gentlemen, but I hope you don't think it's strange, sister. Go out on the website and view them for yourself. This is the man of the hour. Teju Olaboni has been selected. Now, if you're out there, men, and you still want to get a phone call in to talk to Omi to tell her what it is that Emperor Omi wants, I'm soliciting for your calls. Light up phone lines. Go ahead. Call in now and make those phone lines light up. However, I'm going to go on with the show. This is the last day of the celebration, and children, get around to the radio so you can hear your story. I know you enjoy all kinds of African tales, so I have an African-American folktale coming from you for the young readers by American storytellers. And because we told the story about the beautiful brown eyes, and just like all of these stories, they originated in Africa, and then they were brought to America later on, so that the selection of our collection begins with one of these stories today. And since young listeners often ask for scary stories as well as stories about young heroes and heroic heroes, it is not surprising that most of these folkloid tales are ghost tales and monster tales who threaten the readiness and willingness and ableness of young characters at the center of the adventure. Let me go on with my story. And today's story that I have for the young people out there in the audience is a very thrilling story, The Girl and the Ghost. And this story may have been from the Igbo-speaking people of Africa. It is told in Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and other parts of America and South, from whose folktale is retold here today by yours truly, Omi Inka Seven. Once upon a time, there was an old man who had saved his money all his life, but his wife died, and then he didn't feel like living anymore himself. At first, he thought about leaving all the money to his only son and daughter-in-law. But after the old man's wife had died, the son and the daughter-in-law were very mean to him. So the old man decided to bury his silver dollars in a mason jar under the tree by the well and not give them any of his money just yet. But the old man died before he could figure out who to give his money to. The son and his wife left the old man's house empty and falling to ruin because they had a house of their own just down the lane from the street. Only once did the son and his wife go into the old man's house, and when they a deep voice called out down the chimney and said, "I'm coming to duck right down the chimney." Knowing the voice of his dead dad, the son ran out of the house with his wife right behind him. They never went back. Now their house and the old house right beside it were way out in the country, ladies and gentlemen. So every once in a while, someone would stop by traveling from once in the town or another and ask for permission to spend the night. The son and his wife were nice to folks, so they would send the travelers down to the old man's house where the ghost was living and scared them away. One evening, a young girl came down the lane, traveling all alone because her old grandfather was sick at home. She was on her way to her only aunt's house, a long way off, to get some help. She stopped at the son's house and asked if she could spend the night. The wife came to the door and felt sorry for the girl, so she said, "Come on in." She gave her an apron and a skillet and some fried okra for her to eat for supper. But she still sensed her downness to the old haunted house was asleep. The girl thanked the woman and went on down the lane. The young girl went up and knocked on the door politely, sort of like this. Very politely. She knocked on the door very politely. She stopped at the son's house, and she began to ask him, "Can you please help me?" The girl thanked the woman and went down the lane. The young girl went up and knocked on the door, as I said, politely. And when she got there, and when no one answered, she went on. She went into the house. She had a match in her apron. So she lit a light, a fire in the fireplace, and went outside quickly to pick up some more wood to stoke the fire. She set the skillet on two bricks at the edge of the fire and sat back to wait for her supper to heat. As she was sitting by the fire, she heard the deep voice come down the chimney. "I'm going to jump. I'm going to jump." She said, "What is that?" The girl sat up there for a minute and looked around. "Go ahead and jump then," she said. "Just go ahead and jump." Nothing happened. The skillet began to sizzle. A few minutes later, she heard the voice again, a little further down the chimney, said, "I'm going to jump." The girl didn't move. She sat there for a moment and said, "Go ahead then, and go ahead and jump then." Nothing happened. A few minutes later, the voice was in the chimney, just above the fire. "I'm going to jump," he said. The girl was sitting on her knees with her arms folded. She didn't move an inch. "Well, go ahead and go right on and jump then." A big, dark, sharp jump out of the fireplace. But it didn't bother the girl. It sat in the corner the same way she was sitting, on its knees with its arms folded. "You're welcome to eat supper with me," she said. "You're welcome to eat supper with me," she said again. Who was afraid to look? The thing didn't answer. A little while later, the supper was just about warm, and she said, "You're welcome to eat supper with me if you don't mind." The thing didn't answer, and she didn't look at it. A few minutes later, the supper was hot, and she said, "Well, you're welcome to eat supper with me if you like. And if you don't want to, you can say, 'I don't want to.'" With that, she ate her supper and walked over and climbed into the old broken-down bed. "You're welcome to share this old bed with me," said the girl, because she and her grandfather had to share the bed at their home. The thing still didn't answer. She still didn't look at it. After a minute or two, she said, "You're welcome to share this old bed with me." The thing didn't answer. She wasn't even sure it was still there, but she didn't look. After another minute or two, she said, "You're welcome to share this old bed with me, but if you don't want to, you can't say I didn't ask." The fire died low, and the young girl tried to sleep a bit. In the dark, the thing got up slowly and walked over to the foot of the bed. It took hold of the covers and began to slowly pull the old quilt off the girl. "Stop that," she said. The girl said, "Stop that, and I'm tired and I need to get some rest." The thing let go of the quilt, and the girl pulled it back over her shoulder. A moment later, the thing took hold of the cover again and began to pull them off the girl. "Now stop that," I said. "I'm too tired to play silly games. Go to sleep." The thing quit pulling the cover, and the girl pulled the quilt back up over her shoulders. Sure enough, a minute later, the thing took hold of the covers and began to pull again. "Well, I told you to stop that," said the girl, sitting up. "What do you want anyway?" "Come with me," said the thing in a deep voice. "I have something to show you. This is for you, your grandfather, and my son." The girl got up and went outside, following the dark shape. It was the size of a man, and it walked like her grandfather walking, but it didn't have any clothes or face. The girl followed the thing to a tree by the well. The thing reached inside itself and pulled out three of its old bones. It struck the bone in the ground. Dig here. It said, and it melted into a pool like fat in a hot skillet. The black pool soaked into the ground and was gone. The next morning, the girl awoke before dawn and dug up the three mason jars full of silver dollars. She went to her son's house and left the skillet and a jar of money on the porch. She filled the three holes in and took the bones to the graveyard. She took two jars of money and went back home. The thing was never seen again, never again. A year later, the girl, her grandfather, brought the old house and moved in, and they were very nice to their neighbors, even though their neighbors weren't very nice or friendly to them, or anybody else for that matter. The end. Children, I hope you love that story, one of my favorite scary stories. Now go back and tuck yourself in a bed and think about the girl's old grandfather and where he hid the mason jars under the well with the silver dollars. Ladies and gentlemen, join me as we go right into our segment. But before we do that, we're going to go into station identification for those phone lines to light up. And I am urging you today, today is our final day for our ceremony, and I'd like for you to call in with your statements today, requesting to be one of OMI's selected kings for today. Go ahead and call in and light those phone lines up. Join me as we go in and find out what happened to Viney Moore and Ben Raymond after she got those free papers. Let's see what she did with her freedom, ladies and gentlemen.
Does this mean I'm free? It was a baby. He walked past the quarters and went to see all the slaves stretching their eyes so they could get sight of them free papers. Ben Raymond walked past them slowly, proudly. Finally got to his home. Viney was sitting in the rocking chair that he had made for him. He walked over to her and he presented her with the free papers and he said, Viney, these are yours, my dear. She looked at the paper. She looked at Ben Raymond. She began to cry. She said, Lord Ben, has this made us free? He says, yes, my love. This means you're free. You wants to do, and you can go where you wants to go. She put the free papers down, and she hugged Ben. She said, thank you so much, thank you. And he kissed and hugged for the rest of that night. After a week passed by, Viney was satisfied, just showing a free papers around in the quarters and showing them to her neighbors and the people around the quarters. But soon she wanted to venture into town where the free blacks lived. And she walked to town one day. She started talking to the free blacks, and one day she stayed all night. And then before long she was staying two and three nights. And before long she was spending weeks away from Ben Raymond. One day she comes to the door, and she opens the door. She steps in, and Ben Raymond says, "Viney, is that you?" "Viney Raymond, where have you been?" She says, "Ben Raymond, my name is not Viney Raymond anymore. I'm free now. My name is Viney Allen, and I've just come to get my clothes. I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go up to Baltimore, because I hear there's a lot of free blacks in Baltimore." Ben Raymond sat down in the rocking chair that he'd made for Viney, looking hard at her, because now she didn't look like the woman he married. All of a sudden, there was a knock on the door, and the door opened, and there was Hollis Price, wondering what was taking Viney so long. Ben Raymond looked at Hollis. He looked at Viney. He couldn't say a word. Viney said, "Hollis, you wait outside, I'll be right there." Hollis goes outside. She looks around the room. Her eyes falls on the bedstead. She remembered the winter that he went and cut the hickory posts, just so she'd have four posts that was up off the floor. Not too many blacks slept like that, off the ground like that. She looked around the room in the rocking chair that Ben Raymond was sitting in. She remembered the summer that he whittled the arms on the chair. And she remembered how he went out and found these special vines that wrapped around the chair. She remembered all of the things in the room that Ben Raymond had given to her and had made for her. All around the room was nothing but love that Ben Raymond had for Viney. She went to the chest of drawers, and finally she took out the free papers. And she looked at the free papers, and she said to Ben, she said, "It's these damn free papers, ain't it?" Before Ben Raymond could say anything, she tore up the free papers and she threw them in the fireplace. Ben Raymond said, "Viney, what you doing?" She says, "I don't want no freedom, Ben Raymond, if it means I can't be with you." Ben Raymond looked at Viney. He got up out of his chair and he walked toward her, and he held her in his arms. And they hugged for the rest of that night. Next morning, Ben Raymond walked over to the master's house, and he told his master about an accident with Viney's free papers. And Master Taylor wrote another set of free papers for Viney. And Ben Raymond took the papers back to her. He said to Viney, "Here's your free papers, my daughter." She said, "Ben Raymond, you keep the papers. And whenever I act like I don't know who I am and like I don't love you, you can take them papers and you can tear them up. Because now, Ben Raymond, I know what true freedom really is."
That's just a little reflection back on what our ancestors had to go through. Just reminisce and remember. We're going to have to take a lesson from our ancestors and remember the orders that our legacy of our parents left behind for us. It wasn't so easy back then in those slave quarters to find that Mrs. Raymond, and it wasn't so easy to convince her to stay put without wanting her freedom. But Viney and Ben Raymond, you now know
what is set before you. So go and be strong. And this institution of marriage I will liken unto freedom. You must learn, Ben Raymond, to free your bird, your beautiful wife. And Viney, you must learn to free Ben Raymond. But you must never forget that true freedom lies within you both, and that freedom to define for yourself and name for yourself. But you both have a commitment to this institution called marriage. I am marrying you back to the community at this particular point. Ben Raymond, you are being married to the community. And Viney Moore, you are also being married back to the community. You should never, ever forget what our ancestors had to go through. Asking the master to give freedom to their loved ones. And Viney, you should never, ever forget the love that Ben Raymond is about to give you. And let no man come between you, knowing that you are in a polygamous situation and that you are the second wife in the family. Ben Raymond, you must love Viney with all of your heart and soul. And Viney, you must, in return, give that love back to Ben Raymond. Viney, I'm not going to ask that you be submissive to Ben Raymond, but I'm going to ask that you be his helpmate and work with him in duality, cooperatively working with him as the creator will cooperatively work with both of you. I know that this is a big challenge between the two of you, and that there will be many things on this earth and in this earth that will draw the two of you away from each other. But may you make it up in your mind to bond together and to bond to the community so that they might be your helpmate in times of need and trouble. Is there anything the two of you would like to say to the community at this time? Is there anything that the community would like to say to Ben Raymond and Viney Moore? At this time, we will pause while the community comes forward. I know there must be an echo. An echo must be in this room. And while you prepare your statement, we will hear from Sweet Honey and the Rock with their echoes of time. Sweet Honey and a Rock, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for being a part of this celebration. We have celebrated three segments
of the story of Vinnie Moore and Ben Raymond. As you can see, there was complications that hid out in the house where the slaves used to live. There was complications being free. There was difficulty in a man showing his love for a woman in and of the fact that all he had to offer her was her freedom. And as you see, when she obtained her freedom, she literally wanted to take herself away from the community of slaves. However, we are going to have to remember, boys and girls, in the stories that were read, there are fables there that you can find hidden truths. And for the couples out there who are still interested in holy matrimony, I say don't stop. Commit yourself to a covenant of courtship, then relationship, and then finally marriage. Be committed and not necessarily subjugating yourself as a lesser vessel, but being in duality on one accord. I call you all to this audience today that we may reorder our marriage vow for the 21st century. Ladies and gentlemen,
preserve you.
It has been time for us to change things a long time ago. Let us listen to the preserving of the marriage as our narrator proceeds.
In your household.
And our narrator is preserving the marriage and the couple so that they will have fortitude in the marriage. Listen as we have our narrative.
You understand that no man is an island and that you're being married back to the community. And with that, I will bring the thought forward. Diamond, will you bring the thought forward, please? This is the salt of the earth that will help to savor your marriage, each one of you. Diamond, will you pass this salt around to Ben Raymond and to Vinnie Moore? Taste, Vinnie Moore, of the salt, to see the bitterness thereof, but to know that it will savor your marriage and keep it and preserve it. Ben Raymond, taste thereof the bitter salt, the salt that was used to preserve and to cure the meats as they travel to and fro on the ships. The same salt will you be used to savor your marriage. Taste of the salt now. Taste it quickly. Now, Diamond, bring forth the honey. Bring forth the honey. Thank you, Diamond. Diamond, take the honey on the tray and the spoon and give unto the bride. Vinnie, take of the honey. See that it is sweet to the taste. Oh, how sweet it is to the tongue. Remember the times in your marriage of the sweet times, and never forget the moments that you've had in time, like this ceremony, for example. Now, Diamond, give unto Ben Raymond. Ben Raymond, take the honey unto your tongue and see how sweet it is. Oh, how sweet it will be to the taste. This woman will be sweet just like that honey to you. She will adore you and she will love you, and she will be your helpmate. But yet you must remember she is parallel in duality to you. You and her must reign and rule together in your household. But know that she is the lesser vessel, the weaker one. May you care for her and treat her gentle. Vinnie, may you adore this man, Ben Raymond, and may you nestle up next to him, and may you covet him with your institutions of love, and may you always yield to his cry and his command, and may you let him cover you with his name, Raymond. Let him cover your head so that you might not be defiled. Now, bring forth the vinegar. The vinegar is used as the bitter woes that will come from the earth, from the so-called community. But the community will rush to you to preserve you and to help secure you in the event that poisons come into your marriage, which they will come. But this vinegar will be used to diffuse and excretiate and dispel the poisons that will come in the midst of your marriage. It will be used to help to also rid you as a diuretic and to also be used as a curing method for the marriage which you will need. Taste of the vinegar, Viney Moore. Taste of the vinegar, Ben Raymond. Diamond, will you please pass the vinegar to each of them? Now taste and see how bitter it is. And don't forget that there is something to preserve you in the marriage. Now we will pour libations to the earth and the four corners of the earth. I pour libations to the four corners of the earth. First to the east, then to the west, then to the north, and then to the south. We call forth the ancestors to invite them in with their sweet-smelling savior. Diamond, I ask you to light the incense. Bring in the frankincense, and may it fragrance the air. May they remember this sweet moment and the incense and the smell. Diamond, may you please, my dear, light the candles so that they may light the way for them in the darkness when they can't seem to find their way. Light each four candles at the four corners of the cardinal direction. And as Diamond lights the candles, I'll ask for your hand, Viney Moore, to be placed into the hand of Ben Raymond. Nestle up against his hand, Viney. And Ben Raymond, cherish the hand that is in your hand. And with this hand, you are being wedded. Will the ring bearers please come forward to bring the ring? And will Takari please come forward to bring these two souls into one? We will pause now as Takari come in and commemorate the ceremony with the ring. Ring bearers, please come forward and bring the ring.
The job is hard, but can it be done?